I'm going to quickly go toilet and get a glass of water or something. So,
don't do both, Dodds. You're just going to need to go to the toilet again.
I'm doing this without going to the toilet and without a drink of water. Dodds?
You make the best decisions.
I've got my drink.
You make the best decisions when you need to go to the toilet.
Well, yeah, but he's going to ruin that when he brings a fucking glass of water in there.
Yeah.
I don't know who brings a glass of water into the toilet, but...
I don't think he's having the glass of water while he's on the toilet. You'd have to be doing some hardcore shitting there.
And let me tell you, that stuff will make you thirsty.
Welcome to High Speed Gentlemen Discussing Video. My name is Katzman, and with me today are Dogs.
Hello.
Happy Man.
Yeah.
Hexler.
Hello.
Juju.
Hey.
And Zah, with the promise of Shawnee and Wes coming later.
Slowing down.
Yeah, I know. I sort of run out of momentum there. All right. Shall we begin? The first interesting thing to have ever happened, according to Shack News, 25%, they say only 25%, 25% of the gaming projects started on Kickstarter reached their funding goal.
Huh.
Now, they seem to be surprised that this is a small number, but I don't really think so, to be honest.
Well, there's a lot of really rubbish games that are appearing on Kickstarter by people who have no prior experience in the gaming industry, so, you know, it's not really surprising.
Are you talking about Ron Paul Adventures here, by any chance? Good God.
I was thinking about Matt specifically.
Don't even hate on it.
Is that a first-person FPS campaigning game?
No, it's a 2D platformer where Ron Paul looks exactly like Waluigi. And he's Waluigi.
Is this anything like that game made by, like, this 13-year-old? I think it's called Super Obama World.
Super Obama World?
Yeah, this is a real game. It's a 2D thing where they pretty much took levels from Super Mario World, but then just put Obama instead of Mario.
That's incredible. I didn't know that. Did they charge for it?
No, but he was asking for donations. The kid is, like, 13.
Well, I say more power to him, you know. Hello, Wes. Most of the projects that's on Kickstarter are complete crap. Don't get me wrong. 25% is
kind all
of
bullshit.
A large no, number, if you ask me. Unemployment.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
Quest. And, like, I've seen other ones with, like, this game is going to be so cool. It's going to have a nice story. It's going to be made with the default tile set for RPG Maker. And you're like, why are people
giving
money?
Did you see the feminist one?
Did I see the what?
There's a woman who's trying to get money to make a video series about how video games are sexist on Kickstarter. She's already got like 9K.
I've seen that.
Isn't that called like Tropes versus Women or something like that?
Oh, I've seen that.
I'm not annoyed by this troper, to be honest.
And if you like donate money, she gives you like a signed autograph disc or some crap. I'm like, why would I put my money towards that junk?
Because think about it, that thing is valuable, man. A signed autograph disc.
You guys are being sexist, you know. Stop making fun of her.
Disagreeing with a woman. She's sexist. It's confirmed on the internet already. I think games kind of sometimes are sexist, to be honest.
Oh, they are, but that's because they're not pointed at women. They're pointed at men. Yeah,
well,
everything's sexist
women.
Once you sit down and think about it.
But you can be pointed at men. You can be targeted towards men without being sexist.
I think we still have the reason.
I don't think so.
Gaming has its roots.
You're
going
to play on stereotypes when you want that.
Yeah.
I saw kind of an interesting article recently where it was about how all like male game protagonists are beefy, muscle-headed, bald guys, and all female video game protagonists like wear less clothes than your average spoon.
It's confirmed the less clothes you wear, the stronger your armor is.
Yeah.
Just you like Monster Hunter for that one.
Oh my god.
That applies to women only, of course.
I haven't heard of this Kickstarter documentary at all, but then there's a lot of stuff on Kickstarter that I haven't heard of.
I've been hearing a lot of hate for Kickstarter lately.
I don't know why people are hating on it, to be honest.
I think that's because of all the scams that have
there's a lot of scams going on.
I'm actually going to talk about that. I have a news piece about a lot of Kickstarter scams.
What's going on with that millionaire?
Right now, then.
Happy man, present your case.
Present?
What, right now? I thought we were going to
No. We're just doing it in whatever order this time. It doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, since it relates to the main article.
I'll bring it up one moment.
You mean you don't have it up yet?
Alright, here we go. Republique sneaks past 500,000 Kickstarter goal with just 6 hours to spare. The folks at Nascent Studio Camouflage must be pretty excited right now with their first ever project, a Kickstarter game named Republique, meeting and exceeding its $500,000 goal with 6 hours left until Kickstarter expires. But this is just the beginning, as Camouflage intends to raise another $500,000 from separate non-Kickstarter funding. We estimate that Republique will cost north of $1 million to complete. After months of meetings and due diligence, we believe that we can raise the necessary additional funds to complete Republique from potential outside investors. But there is some risk that our efforts will be unsuccessful, the game's Kickstarter info reads. So it's like they wanted $500,000 to make the game, but they're going to go to a publisher anyway. Like, isn't the point of Kickstarter to avoid a publisher?
That's amazing. I love that. That's brilliant. Why didn't I think of doing that? Money for nothing.
Well, there's a similar there's an article I found which I also was going to bring up. It's basically another Kickstarter project. Basically, they used material from other games or other obscure artists on the internet. They got, obviously, you know, you can't do anything without getting called out on the internet nowadays. So, you know, they quickly got shut down. I believe it actually got cancelled by the creator of the Kickstarter. Is like, oh, I've got found out. But they closed this before the feds come after me or something. I don't know.
But he got away with, like, was it, $10,000 or something?
No.
The money doesn't get given to you unless you meet your Kickstarter goal.
The way that the article read to me, it was like, you already got the $10,000.
I want to start a Kickstarter goal. It's going to be $5, and it's going to be like, help me get to my goal of getting a Subway $5 foot long.
I will give you at least awesome. 20 cents.
If people
would
pay me
50 cents.
Well, here's the thing, the giveaway thing they put was, the blurb also claimed Disney and Pixar would provide the animation.
What?
Which is-
what?
I love that. This company that no one's ever heard of, like, yeah, Disney and Pixar are going to provide the animation. It's like, everyone write down your dream game ideas and then put them on Kickstarter along with a $500,000 goal and not actually worry about whether they're there, whether you have anyone who can program or know anyone can program or know any artists or musicians. Just put it down there anyway. We'll worry about, you know, the complicated stuff later once we have the money.
Like, actually calling Disney and Pixar saying, hey, can you do this animation for us? That'd be great.
Yeah, we have a whole $150 on Kickstarter. Check it out, yo.
I'm still going to do that Subway idea.
You know, I would not blame you.
I will donate to that fucking Subway.
Would you post a video of yourself eating this?
You got to get a little more than $5 because Kickstarter will take part of it.
Oh, shit.
So you got to get
a little more than $5 to get a $5 coupon.
Alright, so I'll make $7.
Per
so, like, is my backer reward going to be a documentary about you eating the footlong?
If I heard you donate $5.
You get to watch me stream myself eating this delicious sub sandwich.
You donate $5, you get the original piece of cheese from the sandwich.
But there's a limited number.
You cut a slice off.
But every $5 you give, his sandwich is going to get worse.
Yeah, but think of the cheese.
I could totally do that. I could have them donate money and decide what I put on it.
Excellent.
That's how you do it. You donate two or more dollars.
We have
dollars
to use this idea. We
get
have
to fund it.
But yeah, so 25% chance that this is going to be successful. So, shall we move on?
Yes.
Fuck Kickstarter.
No, don't fuck Kickstarter. Kickstarter's cool, but make
fuck
sure that
Kickstarter.
Make sure that you're investing in something that isn't a scam. Thank you. That's my public service announcement.
Or that meme tower defense game. Holy shit.
Fucking meme tower defense. That really annoys me.
Yeah.
Because people like the people who draw the original memes or who force the original memes, they never actually see any of the like any of the spoils, any of the money from this.
Well, Wynn, the guy who drew the troll
well,
face,
that's what
he's been like suing people.
On his internet.
It's not has like everything on the internet is not public domain, you fucking bunch of talentless idea-stealing idiots, okay? Seriously.
Or you could be like 9GAG and put your watermark on everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and there's another thing, putting your watermark on things that aren't yours. What the fuck? When did this become okay? When did this become accepted practice? Fuck you, Eric Borman.
When the internet was born.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because when the internet was born, it was just Tim Berners-Lee and nobody else. But at some point after that, the founder of Free Radical has said that pretty much every FPS loses money, and the only way to make money on FPSs is to make them exactly like Call of Duty, or else nobody will buy them. And that Crysis 2 was a financial failure.
It's true, though.
It is?
They do lose money because everyone's standard is at the Call of Duty level. If it's not like Call of Duty, you don't get the Call of Duty audience.
It's not
as good
as Call of Duty.
Unless you're Valve, I guess, because Valve still sell.
Well, yeah. Valve get it good, though, because they self-publish, so the publisher doesn't take a chunk. So they can spend, they make a lot more on the games that they make versus other developers.
But yeah, I kind of agree.
I think they need to bring out Battlefront 3.
Oh, we'll get to Battlefront 3.
That's what they need.
But like,
did you hear it was like completely finished and they just scrapped it? I was so pissed.
I think the reason that no FPS makes any money is because people have finally gotten bored of buying the damn things.
Well, let's hope.
Well, every game that comes out is an FPS nowadays.
Bored of the same repetitive stuff that the FPS genre has become.
Name an FPS that's coming out.
Crysis 3. It's gonna be bad, but it's coming.
Right.
The Battleship game's coming out. That's
an FPS?
FPS.
Yes. Oh, that Battleship game
based
on
a board game.
Why is
and
it
all
like
takes
Battleship?
Place on land.
No. No, listen to this. One of the guns in Battleship, the longer you shoot the gun, the more accurate it gets.
What?
You're joking.
I don't understand that one.
No, what? No, what?
No,
what?
No, dude, I work for GameStop, but we hear it all. We hear it all first.
Hey, really?
Like
there's
a
gun in Battleship, if you shoot it, the longer you shoot it, the more accurate it gets.
The longer you hold down the trigger?
Yep.
Who do you use this
for? Is it a laser weapon? Is it an autumn kind of weapon?
Do you hear any E3 sort of
no,
stuff?
No, it's a machine gun.
It's a.
He has insider info. Let's all ask Wes.
I don't. That's a dumb idea. Stop talking about it.
I think they just wanted to like throw a stupid gimmick in it for it. I don't understand that one. How you shoot a gun longer, it gets more accurate.
I don't care. I think it's a good idea.
It wouldn't be very useful though.
Is it exactly like Call of Duty, except one of the guns becomes more accurate the more you shoot it, or is it different in any way?
Yeah. The Battleship game's so much crap. The people that bought it brought it back the next day.
Wow.
They went to the midnight, bought the game, brought it back the next day.
I don't even know what Battleship... I don't really know what Battleship is. Is it that film?
Yeah,
it's
yes.
That's based
a new
on
film.
The board game. Well, not the board
it's
game,
a
but... Yeah.
War film about battleships fighting aliens, and it's based on a board game. And then there's a first-person shooter coming out based on the film, based on the board game, that has
it's
nothing to do with the film or the board game.
That takes place on land.
Yeah,
it would be cool. A
yep.
film adaptation of Where's Wally.
Water combat. It has water combat, but it's really like touchy. It's weird. It's not like you'd expect the water combat to be the best. It was just you're shooting at alien ships that fly by.
Didn't we talk about this in, like, the first episode?
Fuck if I know. No one else agree on the Where's Wally thing? That would be so good.
No.
Oh, okay. I'll Kickstarter it. I'll show all of you.
Yeah, okay, pal. But yeah, Free Radical. It says here that they're developing Homefront 2.
Why are they making a sequel to Homefront?
Because it's an FPS, and
why aren't they making
every game needs a
sequel.
It
sold like 4 copies.
But now I think the question we need to ask is it going to be on Steam? And will I get a new hat for TF2 if I pre-purchase that?
Buy it.
I want my fucking hat. I don't want anything else. I want my hat.
Left 4 Dead 2 is basically a TF2 hat with a free game.
Let's make the official announcement here. Developers, if you want your game to sell money, put it on Steam and make Valve make a hat for TF2. There's your money right there.
What I think it's true, too.
Was the first Homefront any good? I never played it.
It really wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't good. And the story was retarded.
Most, like, modern first-person shooters.
Yeah, it didn't really have anything to make it stand out from what I heard.
Yeah, it was a generic game.
So I was very disappointed when I heard that, found out that was a first-person shooter, because the first trailer I saw made it look like it was going to be a sequel to a very good game called Freedom Fighters.
Yeah, I thought that too, dude. I thought that too.
And I saw it as an FPS, I'm like, fuck.
Those were Russians in Freedom Fighters, right?
Yeah, it was Russians, and then Koreans somehow invade America, which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Any excuse to kill Koreans in a video game, man.
Yeah. And do you guys know why they use Russians as a generic bad guy?
Because they're still stuck in the Cold War?
No, that's not why.
Because we were carrying them by the boot heel since the 1970s.
If we put Chinese people in a video game, it'll get banned in China. That's the whole reason behind the whole Russian-American thing.
Dude,
is that the Russians don't give
in
a
China
fuck.
Or Red, anyway.
The fact of the matter is, you can profit off putting Russians as bad guys, but if you put anyone else, it'll get banned in a country.
What about a video game where Australians are the bad guys?
I don't think Australians could be the bad guys.
I've had no good experiences with Australians, seriously. One of them was my sister's ex-boyfriend that she dumped, and he ended up living at our house for like 10 months because he had nowhere to live. And the other Australian I know couldn't throw a boomerang properly and gave me food poisoning.
I know one game. In the Team Fortress 2 game mode versus Sex on Hail, the Australians are the bad guys. But that's all I can think of. It's probably
not
the only
even
case.
Official game mode.
Yeah,
there's so much untapped potential, isn't there? That's the thing.
I know the campaign mode. Have you guys played the TF2 campaign mode?
Let's not start this joke. Let's not.
I know a game where you fight Australians.
What?
Scout
Cricket.
Enemy is best aiming.
Oh, shit.
Cricket
right.
games.
Let's all talk about cricket.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's continue with the first
one. No one knows about anything cricket. About cricket.
I didn't know that Steve Ellis, who is the co-founder of Free Radical, who became Crytek UK, he was the guy who wrote the multiplayer component of GoldenEye.
Him and Dr. Doke, man, they were the leads on that.
Right, there's a guy called Dr. Doke in there, isn't it?
Yeah. He was the sleeper cell agent in the facility. They put that in there because he apparently had a PhD. I forget what in exactly, but they used that as the running gag in there. And when I found that, it just makes it more hilarious.
Fucking Dr. Doke.
I think I still have that picture saved where there's explosions in the background and Dr. Doke's walking down the stairs and it says, Dr. Doke, bitch.
I love that picture. Android. Statistics came out recently. Now, where did these statistics come from?
They're from the people who actually developed the football manager for the Android.
Oh, right. Football Manager, yeah, 9-1 piracy rate on Android. So for every one copy of the game sold, 9 copies have been pirated, according to these developers. Jesus Christ, Android. Wow.
Now this is the Football Manager handheld game?
Yes. I don't care what it is. It probably sucks. I wouldn't buy it, personally.
Well even so, granted, you wouldn't pay. What does it say here?
£6.99. I could go all the way on the bus from here to the next village for that much. Jesus Christ!
I don't know how much that is.
Better than
£6.99 is about $140.
That's a lot.
Damn! That's about 140 American dollars.
It's about $10. That's a lot for a handheld game. I've never seen anyone else charging that.
That is a lot.
$10 for a handheld game?
Yeah.
That's cheap.
That's not cheap.
That's cheap over here, dude.
Actually, we should say...
How much is the average Android game where you are?
Oh, Android game. I thought you were talking about DS.
No, Android.
They can range anywhere from $1.99 to $20, just depending.
Well, I personally had sympathy with him until I read the price. Don't make it fucking £6.99. Who the hell is going to buy that?
Does anyone know the jump button for Skyrim? Because I just loaded up Skyrim.
Space bar.
All right, thank you.
Steals something, isn't it? They have like use and jump backwards, don't they?
Actually,
what? Or is that just Oblivion?
You know, New Vegas and Oblivion have it opposite, and like Fallout 3.
That's fucking stupid.
I think it's a combination jump of Skyrim. I think you have
to
guys,
Todd Howard.
Skyrim is a good game, and you
fucking
should all play.
Todd Howard, I hate you. Why?
I think. Off of Caspian's rant of Todd Howard.
That wasn't a proper rant.
No, you just kind of shouted his name in disgust.
I hate Todd Howard.
What has he done to you?
Personally, he made me disappointed.
Oh, I feel so
promised
bad.
Promised 200
for you.
Different endings for Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout New Vegas wasn't even made by Bethesda.
Let's be honest here. If anyone's promising 200 endings, it should be fucking BioWare, but I'm not going to get into that.
Does anyone here, aside from Dodds, have an Android phone?
No.
Nope.
Oh,
you people. Where's your sense of freedom?
I'll show you my sense of freedom. My sense of freedom is not purchasing a $10 spreadsheet game. That's my sense of freedom.
Like, I'm not saying Football Manager is interesting. It is kind of weird, though, to see so much piracy. But
I think it might also be the demographic of Football Manager as well, because I actually know a guy at college who plays Football Manager, and he's not the kind of guy who's into video games. But, you know, everyone who's owned an Android phone, and, you know, if every football fan who owns an Android phone gets told, oh, you can get Football Manager for free on this, you know, they might go, yeah, why not? We'll give it a try. You know, it's a different demographic to people who normally buy games on Android phones, I think.
I like this segment down here where he tweeted about the 9-1 piracy ratio, and he watched the comment sections with interest. Most comments were from people who were shocked at how high the ratio was, but there was also a handful of piracy apologists claiming that the game is too expensive.
Oh, don't be a pirate apologist now.
But
that's as bad as supporting terrorism.
But the thing is, you should wait until it gets cheaper. That's such a big deal.
But what's hilarious is the parentheses, which is no excuse for illegal downloading. Games are entertainment, not a human right. Okay, so...
It's true, though.
Games are human... So then what... When do we start charging for human rights? That's my question.
It's such a straw man argument. I've never heard anyone in the universe claim that games are human right. Most people pirate because it means they can get something that they would have had to pay for without paying for it.
Yeah,
you
there's
fucking
no...
nincompoop.
Oh, what? You want freedom in your country? That's about, like, you know, a $500 DLC pack. you want help from the government? That's going to be a $200 expansion right there.
You're lying, we never get expansion packs anymore.
No, actually, not true, because
go on.
Arma 2 and their Operation Arrowhead, which has been out since 2008, I'm ashamed to say, but expansion packs are out there. You just gotta find them. They're like mysterious little creatures. And then you love tenderly and bring them into your house and
We all know the real reason why you brought that armor expansion pack.
Yes, you wanted to play. Actually, I can't play it on my laptop because it's a piece of shit. But me, Rude, and Moose highlight that shit, son. Don't call me ugly dots.
I really want to play that, but Arma 2, you can't get it for less than like £20 here. So, not happening anytime soon.
Unless it goes on sale.
You should play Skyrim with me.
How would that work? With you?
I don't know. Like, play it next to me. Like, I'll sit here and play Skyrim, and you play Skyrim next to me, and it'll be like we're playing together, but we're not.
I don't even like Skyrim.
Oh. Shawnee, I feel like you're going to find a side character in that game and name him Catsman now.
I'm actually going to do that now.
In which game? Where?
I don't know if you can actually do this, but I think you can like get companions and name them. But I think you would have to modify some kind of files or
probably
get a mod for that and just edit the scripts.
Why not just play the Hulk Hogan mod?
That's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, sorry.
Hilarious.
Yeah!
Hilarious. Oh, it was so funny.
So, what's next?
Is there a piano in your house, Wes?
No, it's Skyrim in the background.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought it might be
I've got
piano.
My TV on the wall blasting it, sorry.
Draw Something loses 5 million daily users
Good.
In 1 month.
Good.
Yeah.
What is this?
Have you heard of Draw Something?
No.
It's that stupid game that's like a ripoff of Pictionary or something.
Sort of Pictionary
yeah,
for
fuck
Facebook.
That, dude.
But, so, someone copyrighted Pictionary and made it a game?
Yep.
Well,
again?
The company that made it was OMG Pop, and they got bought out by Zynga last month, and since they've been bought out by Zynga, everyone...
OMG Pop was bought out by Zynga?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I used to play that place all the time.
I played there once. It wasn't very good, to be honest. But yeah, they're Zyngas now, and everyone hates them now.
Actually, go on.
Forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
Well, you should.
I keep going around town using Fusro Da on guards and watching them fly, and then I'm like, I'm the white Thane. They're like, oh, it's okay then. And I just do it again. So much fun.
It's the little things in life.
Well, anyway, on the subject of Zynga, it was hilarious. A couple of months back, my parents were telling me, Eric, you should work for Zynga and stuff. They're hiring types of artists to make games and shit for them. And I just sat there for a minute and told them, no, are you fucking crazy? And it's like, Eric, but think about it. They have an open bar for you. And I'm like, yeah, they have an open bar because I need to be in a drunken stupor to work for them.
It's true. You would have sold
it's
your
money,
soul
though,
to them.
It's money, though. If you did work for them, that'd be something you put on your resume.
It's
something to think about.
Yeah, but if the company crashes and burns in a year, then it's not even going to look good on your resume. It's like, I was part of this stupid social gaming bubble that disappeared.
Well, you'd still have money, I mean.
You would still have money.
The question is, how much money?
I don't want money.
Do I have to buy a weekly card from Zynga to support their games or something? Or it's like, oh,
here's
today.
Here's an allowance.
That would suck to be paid in. He's like, oh, here's your $500 paycheck, but in the form of Farmville currency. Fuck off. What am I supposed to do with this? Oh, just upgrade stuff in your farm. I don't play this game. I just work for the company.
Zynga doesn't have talented artists anyway. Everything they make looks like crap.
They don't have talented anything.
They have big-wiggy people there. They have people who, like, used to be at the top of their game, and they've transferred over to the dark side, like, established game creation-y people.
The only plus side I always hear is they have an open bar.
Yeah, but I
they
mean,
have an open bar.
They have an open bar.
Pixel has a cereal bar. So.
That's what I heard. Apparently, they
is that like the Google offices have like slides and living quarters and everything?
And
because that shit was intense.
And people can take their dogs to work.
That is intense. I want to work for Google now.
Google would be much better, but you have to be like really, really smart to work for Google. It doesn't just happen.
So, what's next on the agenda?
Oh, shit. I'm getting being fed into my earpiece right now. This is breaking news. It's an update on the Free Radical thing that we were just talking about.
And what about it?
I don't know.
Free Radical versus the monsters.
Oh, did you guys hear about Battlefront 3? Star Wars one?
Yeah, shit. The whole Battlefront 3...
I think it's mentioned in the article.
It was completely done.
Development.
They had everything done, and then the new people took over at, what was the company? Yeah, LucasArts. And they're, we don't want to go in this direction. We want to go make Tor and, what was the other game? The Force Unleashed. So
is that their legitimate...
Yep.
That was their legitimate answer, is that, no, we don't want to make more money. We want the Old Republic.
So they wanted to drop that even though it's finished because they thought it might distract people from the Old Republic?
Yep.
I say let it distract people from the Old Republic.
It was ridiculous, dude. I was so mad when I read it because I was such a huge fan for Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. I bought those copies like 3 times each.
I love those games, man. Those are great. And they just shelved the whole thing. Goodness gracious me.
Oh, no.
To be fair, I don't think that early anyone could have predicted that the Old Republic was going to be such a tremendous failure as it is now. Like, isn't it on the verge of going free to play already?
Yeah, it's free to play on the weekends.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
How does that not command your respect?
I just captured butterflies.
Or
I just caught butterflies.
You are obsessed with Skyrim today.
Dude, it is fun. Like, I rented it from my friend. I was like, bro, I'll let you borrow Starhawk if you let me borrow Skyrim.
He was like, I want Starhawk.
Wait, wasn't Starhawk on the Atari?
No.
What?
Who plays Starhawk on the Atari anymore?
What?
Oh, there's actually a Starhawk game on the Atari, yeah.
Shut up, you old fuck.
I'm only 21, sir. I am but a humble 21-year-old.
But, you know, Max Payne's a really good game for the multiplayer.
Like, I'm not pre-ordering.
No. Like, if you get a chance to try, like, a demo or something, try it. Because I played it, I think, 2 nights ago, and it was really good.
Actually, I saw a thread the other night on Max Payne. Somebody was complaining about how the entirety of the game you have to be in slow motion. And I'm like, then what do you call the first 2 games?
Yeah. In the multiplayer, it's fun doing the slow-mo because everyone gets a bar and you know someone's getting fucked up when you start slowing down. It's awesome.
Anyway.
Funny, because the problem with the slow motion is when you go into slow motion, if someone's like dueling with you, you can easily get yourself shot in the fucking face. I've done it like 3 times. Some guy was like jumping out of a corner. I just turned around and shot him in the fucking head and then kept going.
Shall we move on?
Are we talking about Free Radical versus the Monsters?
The article's called Free Radical versus the Monsters. Is there anything more to say about Free Radical at this point? I just feel bad for them. You know, they had a hard life.
Yeah, this is just a whole recap of the entire company throughout its career, from the creation of GoldenEye to Haze and its downfall to the explanation of them trying to promote Time Splitters 4 and stuff, and nobody and then I think they do have something about the Battlefront 3. Although there is this video in there from 2009, a Free Radical internet video that was made by someone inside the company about the LucasArts takeover, and it really has some startling stuff about what this individual has to say about the company, LucasArts, and I think it's about halfway through the article.
Pass. I do know that LucasArts have been a bunch of goons since all the good people got replaced in, like, the early 00s. And, like, you know, all the Ron Gilberts and Tim Schafers got replaced. So they begin people to make games that tied into Star Wars Episode 1.
That was about my Battlefront back. That's all I want.
There is also a piece of concept art in the article about Battlefront 3, and the character's name is Dark Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That sounds kind of stupid.
It is. It is stupid, and that's why they call it concept art, because I don't think they got into the game. But if you just look at its picture, it's not really one of the prime pieces, I would say.
PlayStation CEO is apparently opposed to blocking used games. So this is Jack Tretton speaking on Game Trailer's bonus round, said that used games were great for consumers and that it would be anti-consumer to block them. This isn't his final word on the matter, because he thinks that Sony of Japan might think something different. But I mean, come on now. That's got to be worth something, right?
It's
that,
true, though.
That one console is still going to have used games.
It's but true that whole, people will come back and buy new games if they do get pre-owned. I've seen it before. They come back for, you know, the extra stuff that comes with it, because a lot of games that we sell come with some sort of art book or something when you buy new.
But wasn't all that, like, Xbox won't be able to play used games Kotaku rumors?
Well, it was Kotaku rumors, yeah. It always is Kotaku rumors.
Then why are we listening to it?
Because this is something that Jack Tretton actually said, rather than something that Kotaku trolled for hits on.
Well, he's basically saying against the whole rumor thing. He's saying, like, no, we're not going to plan that.
And well, no, it was Kotaku's...
This is the CEO of Sony, not Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, point, but still.
Microsoft could still do it. Microsoft could and might still do it.
And that's from the day when Microsoft failed.
Well, no, it isn't. They get away with murder. They already have gotten away with murder. For fuck's sake, you have to pay for multiplayer when every other console and gaming platform has it free.
It's not... Okay, I have an Xbox, and I have no problem with paying the $60 for a year, because it comes to $5 a month, and it's worth the $5, and it isn't that much altogether.
My problem is I don't see a difference between the onlines other than, like, the group and racial changes. There's really no difference between
between PSN and Xbox Live. I don't see there's, like, the connection is the same. There's no more lag on PSN or anything, even though it's free. So why pay?
From what I've heard, that people have a PS3 and a 360. They say that the Live is just set up better.
The interface is better.
Yeah, it is.
As for, you know, connection, everything else, I've never had a problem with either system.
Yeah, the only problem that I've had with Live is the newest dashboard update, where big fucking ad in the middle of your screen, and then your game is in the top left.
Oh yeah, I love that. Oh. I've seen that. You're paying money per year for this service, and I love that they're serving you adverts on it.
But you know what? It's not a big deal, because I can just press A when my Xbox turns on, and it goes straight into the game. And
you know what you are in Microsoft's eyes? To Microsoft, you are nothing more than a big, fat sack of cash. That's what they think of you, Juju. That's terrible. That is terrible. Not to imply that Sony and Nintendo don't think the exact same thing. Okay, but Microsoft are just a bit more overt about it.
I don't think Nintendo really thinks as much.
Well, Nintendo can't really enter internet.
Nintendo That's the just point. Does whatever. They don't give a shit. I'm sure there is a sack of cash mentality somewhere in there, though.
Oh, of course. Jesus Christ, it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
How many Pokemon games have we gotten in the last 10 years?
billions and billions.
Many people I know will defend Pokemon and say that there has been a lot of change between Pokemon games,
aesthetic
and it's not
changes,
fair
sure.
to not fair to judge them from an outsider's perspective.
I just heard it. The whole arrow thing. Just heard it.
Oh god.
Do I kill the guard? I'm gonna kill the guard.
No, kill the guard.
Yeah, please do.
Alright.
I'm not really big into Pokemans, though. It's never been my forte.
I can't play the new Pokemons anymore. I just can't.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm so used to the old version, and I still go back and play the old versions and all these like weird-ass Pokemon they have coming out now. There's a Pokemon in the shape of an ice cream cone.
There's a Pokemon that's a chandelier.
Yeah, it's ridiculous now.
They were always that stupid.
No.
At least they were.
Do you remember friggin' Mr. Mime or that Pokemon that looked like a sassy black lady? Do you remember?
Jinx.
Yeah, that's Jinx. The one. Well, that was only two.
They had structure back then. They actually had decent character design. They weren't just going around saying, let's see, this Pokemon's now a balloon, this Pokemon's the desk lamp, what am I eating? Ice cream? That's a Pokemon now. Dishwasher, let's see, mom's hand.
They have always been weird offbeat designs. They have never not been weird offbeat designs.
Yeah, but now they're being a lot more obvious about it.
I don't see the problem with a dishwasher Pokemon. I don't mind.
You don't see a problem with a dishwasher Pokemon?
No, it's the coolest thing ever.
You're ruining the dishwashing market, sir. Granted, in Ash's mind, a dishwasher Pokemon already exists because there's a Pokemon inside the dishwasher doing everything. Because he's in a coma. And I won't get into that.
Wait, what?
You never seen that synopsis?
I've seen that, yeah.
The synopsis is pretty much after the first episode of Pokemon where he gets blasted with a lightning bolt, the writer declares that Ash is in a coma, and that's why there's so many Nurse Joys and Officer Jennies, and if he doesn't know how something works or operates, he uses Pokemon as a filler for that technology. So, a power station? Oh, I don't know how the fuck that works, so let's get an Electrode and other electrical Pokemon to run on a ramp, and that's how the whole city's powered. Pokemon is in the frame of mind of a comatose 10-year-old boy.
That is awesome.
That is deep.
Pull the damn plug.
Put on a game, sell millions. Let's do it, guys.
That's like the persona of Pokemon.
Imagine if they ended it like that after like 20 years of making Pokemon games. They ended it with all a dream ending.
A comatose style.
Wait, what did you say, Happy?
I would pay to watch
that
episode.
It's like St. Elsewhere.
I really would. Yeah.
But, I mean...
Anyone knows what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Sorry.
St. Elsewhere was a TV show about a hospital, and in the final episode, it turned out that everything in the show was just like the dream of some autistic kid.
It was in a snow globe.
Like one of the characters was
the
autistic kid.
Imagination of an autistic 5-year-old. But, speaking of, this is completely off topic, but I saw badass endings to TV shows. Game of Thrones, the true ending should just be a hardcore group of D&D players.
Orgy.
No, because that would only be on the HBO version.
Is it bad that I only watch Game of Thrones because I like medieval themes and there's a lot of titties in it?
No.
That way everyone watches it?
Maybe.
Also, couldn't rat-ass midgets.
Dude, Midget is a badass guy, but I learned in my history class that midgets were used as gifts back
as
then.
As chairs.
And what? Then I thought, you didn't know that? Midgets
were a
gift given to lords and ladies as slaves, and they're used as sex slaves and others.
Wouldn't even make very good slaves.
They were fucking used as
middle
gifts.
Middle Ages.
Google
Jesus
it.
Christ.
I learned that in my class this year.
I am Googling this.
It is
were
crazy.
Midgets used as gifts. Middle Ages. Midgets were believed to have magical powers. Oh, and they were given as gifts.
Yep.
Oh, okay. They were always fed well and beautifully clothed, even during times of hardship.
Huh.
A clever midget was pretty much was considered a status symbol. That's wicked. Only not wicked at all. That's kind of cruel.
I like the gif where that the little person just bitch slaps that kid.
That's hilarious. I'm on, I think, the second or third disc after the guy with the blonde hair gets the gold poured on him. I can't wait to watch the next one. Yeah, I'm far back.
So what's next on the chopping board here?
Games Dodge are no longer selling PSP games in 25% of US stores.
I wonder why.
I still sell brand new PS2 games, so...
Damn.
I don't think that's gonna go... Yeah, it still sells.
What are the prices?
Like, $9.
Well, that's better than most places.
I love that there's more of a market for brand new PS2 games than PSP games.
I think the question is, does that money directly go to you, or does it actually go to the developer?
It goes to the developer. It's a new game. If it was pre-owned, it would go to... Did you know if we sell a pre-owned game, we make 7 times the profit of buying new?
Well, yeah, that's why you always push those fucking cards on us.
Yeah. I hate doing that. I really do. I ask people, I'm like, so would you like a free card? I only give them, like, the expensive card. They're like, I want to save money. I'm like, all right, here's our $14.99. And then I ask them, like, once if they want to pre-order anything. If they say no, I'm like, all right, here's your thing. See you later. Enjoy your games.
It's a good thing you have an alias on here.
Why is that?
What, do you think GameStop middle management will be listening to this?
Someone from there probably browses Gather Your Party, and they're going to hear us like, wait a minute.
No, they won't.
That guy's voice sounds familiar.
I told my manager I wasn't comfortable with the whole selling thing, but I still would sell. And the thing is, I'm such a bro to my customers, I'm actually in second place for sales because people come back and are like, hey, Wes, hook me up. What
How's
can I
that
do?
Possible? You're not a female nor a not gamer.
Dude, you just gotta be nice to people. That's all it is.
Don't you have, like, quotas? Like, you have to sell a certain number of pre-orders
I
and
still
magazines
meet my quota
and stuff
without having to force it down people's throats. Just because I have a bunch of regulars that come in and they buy from me.
Oh, I just found the article. Okay. For the PSP thing.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who owns a PSP.
I do.
I
know one person who owns a PSP now.
I own a PSP. Rhythm owns a PSP.
I own a PSP.
Dr. Celery owns a PSP. That guy owns a PSP. So my question is, since this is another Kotaku article, is this just a rumor?
It's probably made up, yeah.
That actually makes sense, though, because they hardly do that here.
What we do is, if we can't sell games at one store, we'll sell it to a store that has been shown to sell stuff.
Is that what you do with the PS Vitas?
Yeah, it really is, dude. All the stores have Vitas, but for PSP games, like, my store doesn't sell PSP videos. We send it off to a store.
Wait, they still sell UMDs?
Yep.
I thought those were dead like 2 years ago.
They aren't dead.
Still, I thought they were stillborn.
Well, it depends on the area, because how GameStop, we meet the areas our GameStops are in, so we'll send certain products to meet certain customers. Like, if you have a poor environment, we'll send out a bunch of PS2 games and PSP games and DS games, and that's a big seller. It's all about meeting the market.
I wish I could be taught business by you all day, Wes.
No, I'm very good at what I do.
So, what he does is not very nice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who added this to the list, right? But the next thing is that there'll be 2 pre-order bonuses for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
What?
I don't know who added this to the list. There are 2 pre-order bonuses for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
One of them is
from GameStop, and you can play as the Rhino, and one of them is from Amazon, and you can play as Stan Lee, and
okay,
you can get both.
I'm going to just say this right now without even reading the article. One, who the fuck wants to play as the Rhino? And 2, Amazon, take my fucking money. Just take it. Now, is Stan Lee just a skin over that Spider-Man? Because I would be totally okay with that. Or is Lee just like another character just running around, like riding on like a little scooter or something?
He has the powers of all the Marvel characters.
Yeah, he can.
Oh, I need to check my bank account. Because that's the only way you can make that game better, is replace the main protagonist with Stan fucking Lee.
Pre-order bonuses.
You know, there's four pre-order bonuses for Call of Duty, and that's how a lot of it's selling.
Let me guess. Are they levels from old multiplayer maps from the previous games?
No, there's four items. We don't know what the other three are. How they're doing it is you get a poster the first day. You get a poster the first day, and then July 1st, they're going to release a second item for you just to walk into GameStop and grab if you have the code that was printed on your receipt. And then October and August, there's an item.
See, that's what I wonder about, you know. Why isn't Call of Duty sold on, like, the 4th of July?
I bet all the other items are, like, Call of Duty-themed thimbles.
Kids won't even know what the hell a thimble is.
Hey, man, don't diss thimbles.
I'm not dissing thimbles. I'm dissing the thimbles. Kids nowadays who don't know what thimbles are.
Go look up thimbles, okay?
Are we talking about thimbles as in, like, the sewing hand finger protector
yes,
thing?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so why are you telling me I don't know what thimbles are?
I never said you didn't know what thimbles
you just
were.
Said,
no, I was addressing the kids of today. So Black the moral cocks. Of this story is, if you pre-order bonuses, buy them. Buy all the pre-order bonuses.
From Amazon.
Yeah, from Amazon.
And play as Stan Lee, the god of comic book creation.
Next thing is the developer of Firefall, and he's the former lead developer of World of Warcraft, and he says something to the tune of, consoles, I believe, are dead. And he says that all games should transition to like a free-to-play model instead of box titles, and everyone should be focusing on mobile and PC, and soon nobody will ever buy any games.
I'm getting so sick of this argument, Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, everyone's been trying to spearhead
so
this shit.
So what exactly is he saying? He's saying that console video games are dead.
Consoles will never die.
He's saying that the traditional method of distributing video games are dead, I think, is dead.
Oh, the traditional... Okay, that's completely different than saying consoles are dead.
Well, he said consoles were dead in the article.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I don't know, I kind of feel like free-to-play video games are a bit of a fad, and they probably won't last for that many more years.
I'm inclined to agree with you. But the only the plus side is to free-to-play games is, and I'm going to use DDO because that's the recent free-to-play that I've
DDO?
Dungeons & Dragons Online.
Oh, right, okay.
DC Universe it.
Yeah, but DDO, but I'm already kind of like in love with this game because of its concept, because it takes an actual Eberron campaign story and plays it like you are actually playing it on tabletop. They have a narrator narrating the actions and stuff like that. But it is free to play, so a lot of the race, half of the races are locked and have to be bought.
I thought you were going to say racism then. I thought you were going to say half of the racism has to be bought.
Half of the racism, and, well, actually, I'm
I
pretty
love
sure.
race. No.
Racism is very rampant in D&D. Let's just get that point across right now. Because when you see a Warforged walking around, and those of you who don't know, Warforged are giant, magically operated robots.
That is awesome. I want to play this game now. There are magical robots.
Yeah. They usually call them names and other type of remarks because they think they're still in lead with that hive mind that they used to belong to. But anyway, back to the whole free-to-play point. I may only play this for maybe a month or two because half of the content's not there. It's definitely free to play is the type of market that you'll play to pique your interest or take up an amount of time for a while, and then you'll go off and do something else. It's not really a staple, I would say.
I don't get it personally. I've actually never bought any sort of free to play things. I never bought any TF2 items or anything like that.
You never bought. Well, actually, I can't really blame you.
I bought keys for crates a few times, but that was like a one instance.
Oh, that was one instance. Shut up!
You gave in to temptation.
If Noah was here right now, he'd tell you what the hell is wrong with you. Why aren't you getting god tier items with those keys?
I only got shitty hats too that I already had. So,
are you going to give them away? Can I?
Maybe. Depends.
Can I have them? Give them to me now.
What do you got? I want some hats too.
Yeah, better hats than you do, pal.
Ooh.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement, and I can back it up.
All my TF2 items are vintage. Screw you guys.
I got so sick of hats in Team Fortress 2, so I just gave them away to some random dude. And I regret it because he didn't even say thanks. He just asked if I had more items to give him.
That's rough.
Typical TF2.
Yeah, I gave him like 12 hats, and he just asked for more. Didn't even say thanks.
That's it.
Yeah, I want more. That's all you got.
Yeah, four of them were vintage too.
It says you've been playing since 2007, and you only got this. Come on, man.
But yeah, I think free-to-play games have a finite amount of time left on the clock. Just because it's like, in the old days, right, you'd buy like a demo of a game and it'd be like, you can only play one or two levels. It's like, this is fun, and then the demo ends. Whereas now it's like, here, have the entire game, but it's not fun. And it can be fun, but only if you pay for it. Like, whose stupid idea was that? That's shit. That sucks. I'm not going to pay for a fun version of a game that's not fun.
After you bought the after you downloaded the non-fun version and then having to pay for the fun version?
If people download the non-fun version, it's going to put them off.
Actually, that's what happened with me and Global Agenda.
That's how I felt about Global Agenda 2. I paid for it and then I felt like shit. I was like, I don't like this game anymore.
That was... Well, since Rhythm and Dr. Sully play Global Agenda all the time, they're pretty much telling me, it's like, you gotta get the Elite Agent. So, you know, they gave me a coupon and shit, so I could buy it for, like, $12. And, yippee, I get 200 more experience from fucking team missions and a drop for every mission. And they're not good drops. Some are okay and some are great, but I mean, I paid $12 for 200 extra experience points per mission. Great. Thanks, Hi-Rez.
I really regret my decision to purchase Global Agenda. I thought it was going to be like a fad for a while and all my friends were going to play it, but like a week after I bought it, everyone stopped playing it.
Yeah, everyone did that to me too.
I would just say, like, if you still have the game installed, I mean, you can play with me, Rhythm, and Dr. Celery, because that's usually what they're all playing anyway, so.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it when I bought it anyway, when I played it online. It just seems like a regular shooter with a hub world.
The only thing that I love their selling point for telling me to get the to download it again was it's TF2 with jetpacks. I'm like, yeah, but it's also in third person and it takes fucking 50 hits from a high powered gun to kill a goddamn robot.
Tribes Ascend is way more fun. It's not perfect, but it's a lot more fun than Global Agenda, so.
How graphically, what should I say? Okay, can my shitty PC handle it, you think?
Probably not.
Damn it.
What, Global Agenda?
No, Tribes Ascend.
Oh, Tribes.
It's Unreal Engine 3.
Ah, damn it. I'm still going to try, though. It looks fun.
I think Global is also an Unreal 3,
just
right?
Play the old Tribes. Seriously. But, you can play the old Shazbot. Tribes online.
He wants Shazbot everywhere.
I want to go fast.
Yeah, we'll get the old Tribes then. Anyway, moving on. What's the next thing?
Men just want their news articles.
Oh, yes, the creator of... we talked about this before, Journey. He says, basically, games are... Hello, Zedmans.
Oh, Z-Man.
Everybody, Quiet Zedmans has just joined us.
Hi, Jams.
He says that games are not good enough for adults. You need depth. You have the adventure, but you want the goosebumps too. And he says that games aren't intellectual and relevant enough to most modern-day adults.
Sorry I'm late.
How are you doing, Zedmans?
I'm doing dandy today. I'm having a great day.
Look, I hate you.
This morning, it was pretty sweet. And I have, like, a backward sleep schedule, so I just, like, sat in the dark trying to sleep for, like, 8 hours. And right as I'm about to drift off, the lights tick back on and everything starts up. And I was like, great.
So, do you think Jenova Chen has a point or not? Because I actually, I really, really agree with him.
Well, in one of my college classes, we talk about how people grow up. From childhood to adulthood, that they have dwindling changes and views of the world. Because from when you're a kid, it's all innocent and it's all good and bad. But when you're teenage to an adult, you want to get into those grays a lot more. You want to see a more intellectually based situations and stuff, and see where that can go. So at a point, he does have a point in this article where he says it's not intellectually stimulating. But sometimes, I mean, like, fuck, man, I'm 21 years old and I'll go play a fucking game of Power Rangers for all I fucking care, because god damn it, it's still fun. So, in my opinion, it's a double-edged sword, and he is both right and wrong about this article.
I don't really understand what your argument is.
My argument is that, yes, adults do lack... won't play games because of a lack of intelligent, what's the word?
Don't look at me, I'm not good with words.
Well, Todd's here, he would help me out with this
word. No, he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. Intellectual stimulation. In games.
You're saying that video games don't have an intellectual stimulism?
I'm saying that some games don't have an intellectual stimulation, and that's what he's arguing here.
But it's like, I hate the idea of mature subject matter in video games is removing all the colors from the color palette and filling a game with guns and explosions and unhappy people. It doesn't really make it a mature game for mature gamers such as myself, at least not the extent that most developers seem to think that it does. I can't help but feel like they've completely misunderstood what is even meant by entertainment for adults that is not pornography.
What's wrong with pornography?
Yeah, I don't...
Well, maybe not, but do you think every game should be simply a hedonistic festival of self-pleasure?
Well,
yes.
Yes.
Kind of.
Because why else am I blowing six... Okay, let me rephrase that. Why else would I possibly...
blowing...
Why else would I be spending upwards to $60 per game purchase?
That's like 3 months of Brazzers.
I know. Who the hell buys Brazzers anymore?
Because you want some kind of, you know, an interesting, thought-provoking, and mind-expanding experience.
Which is self-pleasurable.
It doesn't have to be self-pleasure. I played Dear Esther recently because it was on sale on Steam. And
I saw that.
I must say, right, it's a video game about a man dying on an island alone and unhappy and mourning his wife who died in a car crash, right?
Right.
It's just a hopelessly miserable and unhappy game. And I don't think I've ever... You know, I don't think there are enough games where you play as someone who is hopelessly miserable, unhappy, and the game is trying to make you unhappy and unempowered every turn.
What do you call the Persona games?
That doesn't do that, but In Space Funeral, your character is sad all the time. Yeah, although that's more of a joke. That's not.
That really is kind of a joke.
Casman, it's like you've never played a Japanese game in your entire life.
That's me. Actually, Silent Hill.
Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, no, I would agree that Silent Hill is pretty fucking depressing.
I would still think those games are by far in the majority, in the minority, and that most games are just meant to make people happy and make them feel good. I mean, all right, I'm going to take an example right now, right, of something that I'm a huge fanboy of, right? I think that the Mother series is a perfect example of a game series that has grown up with its audience. So Earthbound and Mother 1 were very much targeted at young, bright-eyed, optimistic sort of kids. And then those kids grow into sort of older, sentimental adults. And I think that Mother 3 is targeted at those same people, but 10 years later. And I don't think I've seen another game series that does that. Most of them just seem to get stuck in the same tone for the whole of the series.
Or just turn worse like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Actually, did you hear? I read an article one time that Earthbound 2 was just about dealing with abortion, apparently.
Oh, let's not talk about this.
Let's not talk about abortion and Earthbound. Just Google Earthbound abortion if you want to learn more about Earthbound abortion.
Regarding intellectual stimulation in games, just like story-wise, I don't care about it too much.
You don't?
I don't know. Do I? Like, I don't... Story in games doesn't really matter to me. I expect it to be there, but
story is
I
everything.
Don't want to get in the way of gameplay.
If you're fine with any game, if they have any black guy, that's hugely stereotypical.
I don't care.
No, as long as the story's entertaining, I really don't care if it's good or bad.
No, I don't want it to be just entertaining. I want more than entertaining.
I want it to be something I will something remember. Something that I'm going to sit back and be like, holy shit, I played that game.
I want something that makes me think.
Well,
okay, yes. I'm fine
well,
with that.
I mean, that's good.
Well, I have...
I don't like it when the plot gets in the way of gameplay too much. That's my main concern.
And I like the plot.
Very, like, intellectual games tend to do that.
I think plot can make up for bad gameplay.
If
it's something interesting that I'm getting into, I can overlook it and be like, holy fuck, this story. Whether it's, you know, heart-wrenching or intellectual, if a game has good story, it will sell. You don't go to the kids and be like, oh, that fucking story was, or the gameplay was terrible. You're going to go, holy shit, that story was amazing and something I'm going to remember. There's games I played as a kid for the story that I still remember. The story is what's going to leave you remembering a game, not gameplay. You're just going to look back and think for the story, and the gameplay is going to be secondary.
Depends on the game, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're aiming for a game that's all about gameplay, like Tetris. If you're making Tetris, I don't give a shit what kind of story you put on it. But if you are making a game with a story, I totally agree with Wes, to be honest.
Yeah,
a good story can make up for bad gameplay.
There are games that are full gameplay, no story. You can look at fucking shooters. A lot of shooters are like that. They have the multiplayer portion. Those are fun games to play for gameplay, but you don't go into a shooter expecting story.
And yet they still feel the need to have cutscenes anyway.
No, they don't need to. It's retarded.
Interactive cutscenes.
That's because the famous voice actors sell the game.
I think, like, games should have story, like, to a certain degree, but it doesn't need to be more than the president has been kidnapped. Are you bad enough to rescue the president? That's all it needs.
But it doesn't need story. I am a bad enough dude. I have rescued that motherfucker so many times.
Right? That is a very inspiring game plot. It, like, challenges you. Are you a bad enough dude? Can you do this shit?
They should put Obama in there.
But video games
there
have evolved so much more than just that. I mean, I think video games can tell a competent story. And I think they can as well. It's a wasted opportunity. Yes, I agree. And I think that more games should be focused on story than gameplay.
I have a question.
I don't agree at all.
I have a question.
I like boobies.
So, what? Happy Man, you would like Mario 3 as much if the game was... If the game the story was...
Well, RPGs is another... I mean, RPGs should focus on story.
These are meant for story. That we got on this fact that shooters are not meant for story. RPGs are meant for story. But you're going to remember an RPG over a shooter.
Yeah.
Well, that's because an story. RPG is like 20 hours long.
What RPGs have you been playing?
Fun ones. That I just plow right through the main quest. Anyway, what is the story behind Journey exactly? Does that even have a story? Because I'm under the impression...
It's ambiance. There's a little side story, but it's nothing you have to go, oh shit, there's good story.
Because, honestly, the way... Because now that I think about it now... Is that this guy has real no right to talk about intelligence in games if his game that he created is literally just walking for...
It's not just walking, though.
X amount of time.
If we got Taco Man on here, then he could defend it much better than I could.
Well, I that's why I'm asking, is there a story? Is there... I know there's this whole, like, ambiance thing of environment and exploration and shit like that.
There really is a small story to it.
There is a story, but you have to interpret it for yourself.
He's not actually talking specifically about story, though. He's talking more generally about like thematic ideas and the emotions that games are meant to inspire in players.
They are meant to inspire emotions. Emotions are... humans are very emotional creatures, and that's the whole fact behind a story. You're not... We're going back to the whole, you know, gameplay versus story thing.
I'm Grog. Me want TV. Me play violent video games.
I guess.
I think Bastion is an excellent game that tells a story because it never gets in the way of gameplay. I think more games should do that.
Bastion? Bastion was an amazing game for the story.
Yeah, it's also...
The ambiance.
It's reasonably well written, but...
Yes.
If it interrupted gameplay to tell itself, I would care about the story less.
I know exactly what you mean. It is difficult to sort of interweave story and gameplay in a way that doesn't annoy people who want to see more story and or people who want to play more gameplay.
The selling point of Bastion should just be the narration anyway.
Narration was amazing.
I was so impressed with the narration. Also, please no spoilers because I haven't finished it yet.
Go play right now, cats.
Halo dies
exams.
At the end.
After this podcast, I'm going to go back to studying.
We should just have studying an entire for episode women. Of spoilers. I think that would be an excellent
Deckard
addition to the podcast.
Deckard is a Repkent.
Anyway.
Oh, God, don't do this. Don't. Fuck.
What?
Metroid leaves the planet. Halo dies at the end. Zelda is a man.
Zelda was always a man, dude.
Nah.
It was the guy with the sword in green, remember?
You were so wrong about that.
No, I'm right. I'm sure of it.
I think Kat's right. He's on to something.
Intelligence aside, let's be honest here. The real question is, what if every game character was a female instead of a male protagonist?
There'd be
probably
a lot
wouldn't
more
be
Rule 34.
Much different.
Actually, that's another question. Is Journey, like, are those women or men underneath those robes?
They're genderless.
The cloth.
Genderless.
So they're genderless.
So they're skeleton aliens.
Yes.
I love that one person that's genderless and you infer skeleton aliens.
Well, skeletons are genderless and aliens are genderless.
How do you know aliens are genderless?
Skeletons are not
because
genderless.
Because I watched
female skeletons
of
wider hips. Female skeletons have wider hips. All right,
guys, I'm going to a cave. Wish me luck.
Good luck, Wes.
Are you saying aliens didn't create Journey?
Skeletons.
The ancient astronaut theory.
Then who was Phone?
Why? What are we talking about anymore?
Aliens and...
Thing, right? I like this story because I find it very amusing. Rumor. Is Retro Studios' new Wii U game Star Fox Metroid Fusion Saga?
No.
Just take all my money.
I love this.
I discussed this.
You know what?
I
should do it. Go ahead. Fucking do it. Take some risks. Make a Star Fox Metroid crossover right now.
Dash Metroid Fusion Saga.
No.
You say no like it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
It's
the most retarded rumor I've ever heard of the Wii U. It's even more retarded than the whole Eminem coming up on stage and announcing a mature game that Nintendo's producing.
So you're saying that for some reason Metroid and Star Fox can't meet up in a random galaxy at some point in time?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes, in fan fiction.
It does. It reads like a bad fan fiction.
Does it?
The whole article does. The article at the start, it's like the first thing it says.
If the first sentence is in the year 20XXX.
That's a lot of numbers in that year.
Yeah, that's the year.
The last thing I want to do is get people's hopes up. I'm only sharing the rumor because it's this close to E3. To ease your mind further, go ahead and pretend the idea was conjured up by a kid on the playground that's your younger brother's friend.
It was.
So, then it has pictures of Samus and Fox, in case you didn't know what they look like. And then it says that...
What does Samus look like exactly?
It's going to have Fox McCloud on a mission deep in space, and then he enters a light-speed warp and collides with an orange ship, which is Samus's ship, by the way. And then and then you fall to a planet as Samus, and then you're on land, and then you're Samus, and then you switch between Samus and Fox as he flies around in his little ship.
So it's Castlevania Portrait of Ruin, except with Fox and Samus.
Jonathan! Charlotte! Jonathan!
Fox! Samus!
I love that. That
you know,
great.
Honestly, I'm all for the idea, because it'll be funny.
No!
It'll be funny. That's why I think this is
funny. Think of the furry porn!
Metroid Fusion Saga! Oh, it's just... Why...
Well, let's just be honest here. I mean, the relationship between Samus and Fox would be so much better than Samus and Adam from Other M. Let's be honest here.
That's actually true.
I hope they don't put Crystal in it. You have no idea how annoyed I was by Star Fox Assault, by Crystal in Star Fox Assault, because she has a British accent. And when I say British, I mean British with D's in it, like Americans would say it. And, there's this one bit where she says, Fox, the mission's going as planned. Like, really? As planned? The mission's going as planned? I can tell that the actress
has never... But that's how British people talk.
...heard a single Englishman talk in her entire life.
Well, how
do you
say...
mean, the mission's going as planned?
How do you say planned?
Does she refer to Fox as governor as anybody?
Planned.
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 Hi there, go.
On.
But I think if they throw Crystal into the game, that's going to be the moral choice relationship option. Do you choose Samus to have sex with?
Are you a
Crystal?
Furry or are you not?
Oh shit, romance options.
Romance options, man.
Written by BioWare.
Reading more and more like a bad fanfiction every minute.
And our speculation.
You know what? Fanfiction is my forte. I like this idea.
Yeah, that's Happy Mansfield.
Just read the review for your fan fiction segment.
It kind of sounds like someone's 11-year-old cousin has emailed Retro Studios and gone, I think you should make a game called Star Fox Metroid Fusion Saga where Samus and Fox team up and go on adventures.
And have sex.
Maybe not that part.
Well, what's sex in the mind of an 11-year-old just running into one another? let me tell you, because I ran simulations when I was a kid, and let me tell you, that was not a realistic simulation of just banging two action figures together.
Ran simulations.
I ran the simulations. I had the goggles and all.
That's all the news that I have.
Hmm. That was short.
That wasn't. It's lasted for like 1.5 hours.
Yeah, but that's awesome. You make a huge list.
I also got a gun anime segment.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to Happy Man's.
I have something that I have to bring up.
Alright.
Skyrim.
It's about Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
It's bad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the game was bad.
So, yeah, it's bad.
The game was bad.
Well, let's be honest here. The two star characters are Pac-Man and Mega Man.
So here's what happened. Capcom recently released a patch that would fix the infinites and other bugs, one mainly in Mega Man flying off of the screen, which basically made the match time over. Whilst the new patch was out, people like...
Did you want to just disappear for anyone else?
Yeah. Hold on.
Yep. Yeah.
Sean?
Are you there? Shorty!
Your mic died.
I love how he's...
Actually, just bring him into your room. Just bring him into your room and have him do it.
This whole segment's going to be edited.
Can we edit this out and start over?
No.
We've offended him.
Yeah, his internet died. But my internet didn't die, so that's weird. We're on the same internet.
I would love it if Capcom was like listening into the mumble and like talking bad about our game. Boom! Your mic's dead.
Sends an assassin on Sean.
Shit, wait, I had something to... let's see if I can find it. I don't know.
Do we have Happy Man's cookie news?
Alright, I have one piece of news because I took the other one out before.
Cool.
This is pretty nuts. All right, listen. In 2009, Activision's top brass allegedly instructed the company's IT head to dig up dirt on the Infinity Ward bosses Jason West and Vince Zampella in a bid to get rid of the pair.
Oh, I remember hearing about this. Yeah. Reading this.
Activision's chief legal officer asked an IT boss, Thomas Fennady, to attempt to gain access to West's and Zampella's work email accounts, computers, and phones to uncover any devious activities as part of an operation internally called Project Icebreaker. So, you know, the big dispute between Activision and Infinity Ward. And Activision basically wanted to, like, find all their personal shit to try and dig up dirt on them.
Wow.
Here's my favorite part. Rose is said to have warned Fennady, "Don't get caught doing it," and to have assured him, "Bobby will take care of you. Don't worry about repercussions." So Bobby Kotick,
I swear to God,
he's the dawn of video games. He's the dawn of the video game industry.
It's amazing.
Dude.
This is an amazing story.
Yeah,
because you can just imagine him, like, you know, twirling his moustache, going,
if he had. All
friendly
whiplash.
He's fucking
Waluigi. He's friggin' Waluigi again. God damn it, Waluigi. Get out of my head. It's like... I can't even... I had no idea that Activision were that shitty to their developers. Like,
really,
I knew they were mild. I knew
that
they were mildly shitty, right? But... like, this is... They've crossed some kind of moral line somewhere where they're faking fire drills to try and dig up incriminating personal information in case an employee walks out on them. That is not okay.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
This is not crossing some kind of moral lines. This is crossing moral, ethic, business... every goddamn line. That's what it's crossing.
Also, nothing's gonna come out of this. Like, Activision's not gonna get in trouble for this at all.
You
nobody's
don't
gonna
think?
Care. No, I don't.
Well, I guess on the bright side, Project Icebreaker is a success because now they know about the people better, I guess.
Yeah.
Was it a success?
Well, they broke the ice, so to speak. I'm gonna go hang myself.
Yeah, please do.
Don't encourage it.
I'm just kidding. Jesus.
What did they actually need from this information? Like, couldn't they have just sacked the guys and been done with it? What were they attempting to gain?
I don't know. I think that would be based on their contracts. I guess they were just looking for a way to get them out.
Looking for ways to make it look bad. It doesn't say what kind of information they were searching for.
Well, if they're just searching through, like, their emails and business computers, I wouldn't expect them to find much unless, you know, they stayed late after work and looked up some exclusive porn or something.
I love porn.
Bobby Kotick looking for their exclusive
porn.
Did
someone say porn? I'm using that in finger quotes. Exclusive porn.
Exclusive porn?
Yes, I mean that hardcore shit, son.
Like super duper awesome porn? Because
yeah,
we like porn.
Let me be honest here, okay? The porn I'm talking about, and you may want to cover the kids' ears, those who are listening, the ones where you hold hands, okay?
Oh God, ew.
That's some tough shit.
Seriously? Yeah. That's crossing a line right there.
I'm stopping the recording right here.
Excellent.
We're making this non-work safe. We gotta make this non-work safe.
Yep.
Serious issues, my friend. That would get you fired.
That's gross.
But you do that?
Yeah, I think that's legal enough to fire someone over using a business computer for something like that.
They're probably just trying to face rape their employees.
Yes.
So yeah, that's that news.
So do we have anything more?
Happy Man, did you have something about anime or
I
something?
Gun anime.
I want to hear this.
Happy talks about anime.
Can I please do the episode 3 synopsis?
What now?
Well, we're going to be talking about episode 2 and 3. Can I do the episode 3 plot synopsis? Because I have it down to about, like, 4 points.
All right, well, you can interrupt me when I talk about it, if you want.
Well, I think
right,
what he's saying is you do episode 2, he does episode 3.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, so if you don't know what we're talking about, there's this show called Upate, and in Upate, middle school girls who are also guns, and they are guns. They do gun things. Don't ask me how it works.
They can reload and cock back.
Yeah. Also, there's a bunch of like lame gun innuendo. Like I'd fire so fast with those big hands gripping me.
Oh,
that's
weird.
It's
anyway,
hilarious.
All right. So episode 2. It started with they're in the field. It starts with that, and they're having a picnic, Nick, and they're shooting at like targets, like target practice. And one of the girls, her name is Sig, she has the best range, because, this is her explanation for it, she has a gun built in Switzerland, and Switzerland has a lot of tall mountains, and so you need a lot of range for shooting from one mountaintop to another.
What?
That's why that gun has a lot of range.
My question is she a pistol-esque gun, or like...
No, the main girls are all like assault rifles.
Oh. No sniper rifle?
There are some sniper rifles, but they're like antagonists. I'll get to that. Everyone but her, they score really poorly on accuracy tests, and so they have to take extra classes. But then there's another group of gun girls, and they're from high school, so they're older, and also right. higher caliber, because that's how it works. And they challenge the main girls. What?
Well, from what I got, the reason that they have to take the extra classes, I thought it was for... No, just actual class stuff. There's a whole thing where they actually get in trouble because they let Sig take all their long range shots, and
it's triviality. All right, so they challenge them to capture the flag, and if they win capture the flag, the high schoolers will talk to teachers and get them out of the classes, which is. Apparently, high schoolers can do that. All right, so they make a battle plan, and the match starts. And how it works is everyone has balloons on their heads, and if the balloons are popped, they lose.
I thought this was capture the flag.
Yeah, but they have to capture the flag, but they also have balloons on their heads. And SA-80, or L as she's called, she immediately runs into a tree branch and loses. So there's 3 against 3. And then after that, it abruptly goes into like full exposition mode to explain more gun stuff. And the heavier ammunition the guns use, the higher grades they are in. And so elementary schoolers are like pistols and SMGs, and middle schoolers are assault rifles, and high schoolers are like sniper rifles, battle rifles, shotguns, etc. Yeah. Which brings into question, how long do they go to school, and when do they advance in grade? Like turn into different guns when they advance?
You know, that's one of those things that I just left to... It wasn't thought out through like an actual timeline, a storyline. It's just like, let's put... girls that are guns in
yeah this
school.
Is not this is this this is not thrown out at all
they didn't think about it guns. They just made it
12th grade they become tanks.
That's awesome. I'd actually kind of enjoy the show more if it was like that. Anyway, so FNC gets to the high schooler team's classroom, but the flag isn't there. Instead, there's a bunch of dudes changing clothes.
What?
Yeah, and the leader of the other team. Yeah, and the leader of the other team explains, "This is a game where the flag moves. You see, I am the flag."
That's so existential.
So apparently nobody decided on rules before they started. One person makes themselves the flag.
Well, it's not that they didn't think out the rules. It's just
he becomes
tell them.
The flag, metaphorically like, speaking.
Yeah.
Basically, they just said, yeah, find a flag, but we're not going to tell you what it looks like or anything like that. You just have to find it.
No, she didn't say that, though. She said, I am the flag.
I love how you guys are like arguing about this.
Yeah, this is
hey,
very
man,
serious
this
business.
This has to be logically consistent, okay?
Well, I mean, I didn't have a problem with I am the flag because it's not shown off screen that they tell them that like what the flag is, if it's an actual flag or it is the person. So, I know it is ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous that I am the flag, but...
The thing is that nobody decided on rules before they started.
I'm the flag.
Yeah.
Anyway, so M16, Sri hides behind a tree, and upon closer inspection, it's a chestnut tree, and it's full of talking, spiky chestnuts.
What?
And one of the high schoolers, they talk about how they're going to stab her balloon. Anyway.
Yeah, the talking thing is more of a, not metaphorical thing, but it's not supposed to be taken literally, that they're actually talking and living.
I know. Still, as they fall on her, one of the high schoolers shoots at the tree to make the chestnuts fall, and as they fall, there's a flashback, and it reveals that They're sisters, and the older sister used to make all these terrible puns. And so
those puns are fantastic.
I'm tired of your terrible puns. And she uses her gun to hit a chestnut into her sister's balloon, and they both lose. all right, so
dude, those puns are great.
Yeah, FNC and the leader, enemy girl, they face off by a fountain, and they also turn out to be sisters. And there's more exposition spouting about anime.
For sake.
Yeah, everybody's sisters.
Well, it makes sense because
yeah, the guns
they
have.
No, it doesn't.
Like the M16 and M14. M14 is the older sister, and the M14 was the older gun. Same with FNC and...
That does not justify it, Juju.
Yes, it does.
No.
It totally does.
I think technically it makes sense, but it's a stupid anime thing. So
I'm okay with that.
This is a stupid anime. So, okay, so Nichan, she beats FNC, and the match is over. But because the fight was a good test of skill, they don't have to take the extra classes anyway, so the whole thing was kind of pointless. The new teacher doesn't show up at all. He's like there for like 20 seconds, even though he appeared to be the main character in the last episode. He's just gone now. All right, so that's episode two. You take episode
Heavy
two.
Man, you forgot about the best part. You forgot about the special technique that G3 used to
she puts the gun behind her legs or like between her legs.
She puts up the bipod and then she takes off her socks so that she can hold the bipod down while she shoots.
What?
Yeah, I omitted that part because I felt too creepy talking about it.
I did. Talking
about holding hands is not creepy enough, but talking about a woman who takes off socks to keep her gun stable is too. Risky.
Well, no, she lies back and like places it between her legs, and
that's so she can fire more shots more quickly, but still keep accuracy.
Supposedly, it's an actual technique. Anyway, let's move on. Episode 3, Juju, go.
All right. So, episode 3 starts off with the four main characters and a side character who comes a little more.
Yeah, who was that? They never mentioned her before.
It's AR 18. I want to say, yeah. She has a bigger role in the later episodes, where she's more frequent. But it starts out with the four of the main characters and her all bathing with some very convenient steam and soap sud placement. And then from there, it goes to M16... trying to give FNC a massage while they're both still nude.
Yeah, she started like rubbing her breasts. It was very weird.
It was very fan servicey. I just found it so ridiculous that I had to laugh. And then goes into gun facts. Basically, it tells the sad history of L86 and how the gun was basically. Not like the soldiers because it always broke. They introduce some machine gun characters, and then the show ends with another scene with some more convenient soap suds and steam. That's episode 3.
So the whole episode
that actually is episode 3. It was very abridged, but those are the only story events in that episode. So it starts with fan service, and then then there's just random scenes. It's like teacher slips on a bullet, and he tells M16, "Hey, M16, don't leave your balls in the hallway."
What?
And she says, "Teacher said balls. That's sexual harassment."
What?
And then there's next scene, and something else happens, and it goes like that for like pretty much the entire episode.
Wow.
And then there's the thing about gun history, and then more fan service, and then the show is over, or the episode's over.
So, the whole episode is a G-rated hentai mixed with a sad infomercial of various gun facts.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one thing happened. You know, in the first episode, I mentioned that when they introduce Elle, and she's a British-made rifle, but the Loch Ness is in the background. Yeah. It happened again. They referred to an Austrian-made gun as Australian.
Well, that's... more of a translation thing where Austria and Australia sound similar, and it was purely a translator's fault.
Was there a flag and a kangaroo as well?
No, it actually wasn't.
No, but
I just mentioned it in short.
Isn't there in when they start explaining the history of L? Isn't there some like Scottish music playing in the background?
Yeah, there's bagpipes. So you still got that wrong.
Yeah.
So, Caspian, that means you better get your kilt.
Yeah.
Go over to Lake Loch Ness.
Happy man, you're going to love the next
couple
lake,
episodes. It's a lock. That's the whole point. It's Loch Ness.
Stop calling it
Lake Loch Ness.
Lake Loch
Ness. That's like saying automatic teller machine.
I always have to punch in a PIN number.
Punching in a personal identification number. Think about it.
There's more than one number, therefore number.
No, not number.
And that's all I had to say about Gun Enemy, I guess. That's all I had.
That's incredible.
It's a great show. And by good, I mean it's horrible, but it's so entertaining.
It sounds like
it's watching Train Wreck.
It is a train wreck.
Happy Man, there's another show I think I want to recommend to you. It's called AKB-0048. This is the future. All entertainment is outlawed. And there is a group that gives underground guerrilla concerts.
What?
Yeah, that's the premise of it.
That sounds like a good idea to me. I
watched the first episode, and basically these four little girls go to one of the concerts, and then like 8 years later, the group is giving auditions for new members, and then they try out, and they all get accepted, and then they go on to go for further tryouts.
So it's dystopian K-On.
Is it gritty? Sure.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Is it like Blade Runner?
I just want everything to be Blade Runner.
The girls all turn out to be replicants.
You have not little girls.
But it's like, one of the main characters is, her dad is like one of the new chiefs of, you know, entertainment enforcement and all that. And he's like, I recently saw that in your room you have a poster that deals with you know, some kind of entertainment. Take that down. And also, I heard you singing in your room last night. Don't do that. If the other neighbors found out that you did that, I would be in big trouble, or it would look bad.
Anime is bizarre as hell, but I kind of like that. Why it is so bizarre is partly because Japanese are weird people, but also because there's so many new shows all the time. They have like four seasons instead of just two seasons, and the shows are often shorter, and so a lot more gets greenlit, and there's new weird shit all the time.
Yeah, like in Japan, they'll go, "I want to make a show about, you know, whatever," and they'll go, "Do it. We're in like like, you know, America or Europe, maybe, they'd be like, I want to make a show about, you know, a frog that travels into space, and then he has to, rescue a president. And they go, that's fucking stupid.
Is he a bad enough dude? Is that why he's doing it?
Yeah.
It's Battletoads and bad dudes mixed.
Oh, God.
Anyway, in America, you don't make a show that's only gonna last one season. It's like we're gonna make a fan base and then we're gonna kill it. We can't do that, well, and so there's less originality. Even though,
like most shows run for one cur, which is, you know, one season, which is normally 12 episodes. But and really, the only ones that ever get more than one season are either shows that just did really good, or shows that have been adapted from a manga that did good.
Yeah, like Naruto and the like.
And Bleach and the Big Three. Yeah.
The Big Three. They're ending, though. They're all ending. Anyway, yes. We're dragging on about anime.
Yeah, we are.
A bit too long. So that's pretty much all I had. If no one else has anything to talk about,
Sean got
cut off, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's gone. The internet has just exploded, hasn't it?
We're on the same
Capcom
internet.
Capcom Assassins.
That's weird.
Oh,
the Capcom Assassins got him.
Yeah, there was one little thing I want to talk about last week. It was just mentioning Binary Domain and how much of a good game it actually is, even though it's kind of a generic cover-based distributor. The story is just... It's one of those stories where it's entertaining, but it's not a good story, but it does make it more bearable to get through the game. Not saying that the game was bad, it was just kind of, you know, generic.
Well, there are like 100 other generic games that I could play right now instead of Binary Domain.
I just really like the story because it was a third-person shooter that wasn't grim, dark, set in, you know, brown caves. It was set in Neo Tokyo and you're fighting robots.
Brown caves? That sounds wrong.
Brown caves sounds fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
And, like, it was just really satisfying to destroy a robot and have it explode into tiny bits.
So what would Binary Domain be? Blue and gray?
No, colorful. Although there was a sewer section.
There's always a sewer section.
And there's a French robot squad mate who is fucking awesome.
You say a French robot squad mate?
Yes.
And
hey, they make French robots.
He was made in France, I should say.
What's the best robot sidekick in video games?
I'm going to go with Kane from Binary Domain. That's my pick.
It's obviously Tango the Cat. Oh, come on. You people don't remember Tango the Cat?
No.
I was going to... Oh, wait. Best robot character or...
Robot sidekick in video.
Oh, sidekick? Oh, never mind. I was
HK-47, bitches.
I was going to say the monkey from Eggman Legends. The one that you save at. He does a little dance.
Yes.
I don't...
He's called Data.
You are all small time. Yeah. It's all about the time splitters.
Yep.
My nigga.
Yep. Oh, God, I love time splitters. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Edie from New Vegas. I like Edie. Or Robo from Chrono Trigger. He's pretty cool.
About the time splitters thing. Time splitters... Which time splitters are we talking about?
Future Perfect.
I'm trying to remember when the hell was.
That's the third one.
No, I mean, like, which level had the robot sidekick? Oh, when you went
to invade the corporation.
Yep.
Yep, and you had to fight the huge one.
No, wait.
Count?
No.
Why not? It's got robotic operating buddy.
Rob wasn't
in the
a
name.
Fucking... Rob wasn't a team player.
He's
Rob too cool for you.
Rob only wanted to play the same two goddamn games, and I was like, Rob, we should play something else. And he's like, no, we're going to play Stack Up and fucking whatever else that
Wait,
other fucking
Rob
game was.
Wait, your Rob talk to you?
Gyromite,
yeah. What, you never... You're Rob never...
Rob
are they not supposed to talk,
Mac?
No, they're not supposed to talk.
Rob is the coolest guy ever.
I'm going to go with Clank.
I hate Rob.
Clank. Yes, Clank.
Clank. Nobody ever talks about Ratchet and Clank anymore.
I'm getting the HD collection.
Did.
It's coming up soon.
Nobody cats, man.
Pardon?
I like
I just remembered the best robot sidekick. It's Colonel Campbell.
Which game?
Colonel Kenobi. Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, he's a robot. He turns out to be a robot.
He's an AI.
He's an AI.
Whatever. It's the same thing.
No.
What? Okay, fine.
What is that fine line between robot and computer? Come on now.
Robot has to have a body, obviously.
Mechanical body.
It's got a body somewhere.
No, but fucking, they had a body. They had a graveyard. The graveyard was their body. And inside Outer Haven.
I haven't actually played.
I think the term robot is steeped in motorized moving parts.
Oh, fine.
I'm going to change my vote for best robot sidekick. I'm going with Claptrap.
No.
Yes.
No.
I love Claptrap.
Yeah, Claptrap
for life.
I thought about him, but I just said don't like
irritating characters in video games.
I mean, he's silly. He's cute.
Amazing characters in video games.
I'm really surprised no one's siding with me for HK-47. I feel so alone here.
I haven't played KOTOR, so I can't comment.
I don't play video games.
You just talk about them.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I played DRS this week, but that's the only thing I've played in like four weeks.
Is that a video game?
Persea.
What?
Tales Symphonia has a robot sidekick. Right.
Persea's not a goddamn robot.
She's a robot. She's a robot just personality wise.
Well, I feel like Catman doesn't know the definition of robot.
No, but she's close
gotta
enough
be
to robot.
Chibi Robo.
She's close
it's gotta
enough
be
to
Chibi Robo.
Chibi Robo.
But she's not a sidekick. He's not a sidekick.
He's the best playable robot character.
No, he's the sidekick. He's the sidekick the whole game of the people's house. You're playing as the sidekick.
But you're playing
when Moose was playing, like the mom got mad at the dad and he had to like help him get back together, and so he was being the sidekick. He was being a wingman even.
I'd also say Robo King from Katamari Forever, but you're his sidekick, so it doesn't count.
Well, he's kind of the king's sidekick.
Yeah, but no, but you, in Katamari, you are the king's sidekick. It's not the other way around.
Exactly.
You work for him.
We need to define the rules here a bit better.
Yeah. How about Dog from Half-Life 2? That thing was cute.
Yes. Oh, we just got it right here. Best robot cat sidekick is Dog from Half-Life 2.
Yep.
The debate is settled. All right, so that's all, I guess.
That is all. That means it's that time, right?
No.
Oh, fanfiction, yes!
You like sing a song?
Best time of the year.
God. So could you tell us what the fanfiction is?
The fanfiction is it's a Final Fantasy X fanfiction about Wakka and Kimari, and they go swimming, and then Kimari puts his dick inside Wakka.
Swimming by Kelly C. Rocker 59. I have a major Kimahari fetish, so I decided to do a little piece with him. Hope you like it. Come on, brah, Wakka called, pulling off his vest and pants, diving into water with only his boxers on. Wakka had dragged the large Ronso away from the group during their break to go swimming with him, the Ronso only going out of boredom. Now, the beast stood on the grass in his loincloth, the heat even getting to him. He had his arms crossed over his strong chest, and sighed as the human swam around in the water. Come on, Kimahari, it feels amazing yet. I'm not mispronouncing it, it really does say Kimahari, not Kimari. Wakka said, floating in the water and motioning at the big male. Kimahari instead sat down in the grass, pulling his knees up to his chest and snorting. Wakka sighed, getting out of the water and walking over to the Ronso. Why won't you swim, Kimahari? It's so relaxing, brah. Kimahari does not swim, the larger male said. Wakka sighed and reached down, grabbing one of the beast's large hands, trying to pull him up. However, the weight overwhelmed the human. Wakka fell forward, falling on top of the Ronso. Sorry, brah, Wakka said, moving to get up, only to feel a nice warmth moving from Kimahari into him. Wow, brah, you're really warm, Wakka half spoke, half moaned. The Ronso gripped Wakka silently and moved the human around so that he was sitting in the large male's lap. Wakka looked up at him, watching the Ronso move a large hand down to the human's boxers and sliding them down, revealing a hardening manhood. Wakka suddenly looked down as the other male ran his fingers through the thick red curls around the shaft, taking the manhood in his hand next and pumping it slowly. Oh, that feels really good, brah. Walker moaned, gripping his large thighs. Duronso was silent as he continued to pump the shaft, his other hand resting on Walker's chest to hold him still. The blitzer moaned and gently rocked his hips with Duronso, the warmth spreading throughout his smaller body. Kimahari, you gotta keep going, brah! Walker gasped, and the hand sped up only slightly. Walker's head fell back to rest on Duronso's shoulder, his cheeks flushed and eyes closed. The ebb of the tide was almost even with the movements of the large hand, and Walker gripped Duronso's thighs tighter, arching his back and panting. Brah! Duronso continued, gripping Walker firmly against him. Kimahari! Walker cried out, and semen splattered all over his chest, his body rigid as his manhood pumped out the thick fluids. Duronso let go of the human's shaft and lifted Walker up with one hand, removing the boxers fully with the other. Next, he removed his loincloth, revealing a large shaft with thick, white thatch of hairs around the base. Still having Walker lifted up, Kimahari spit in his free hand and rubbed it along his beast hood. Walker waited, and then he was being moved down. The head rested at his hole, and Duronso, gripping Walker's hips with both hands, slowly lowered the human onto the shaft. Walker cried out, Duronso throwing his head back and gritting his teeth. Slowly, he sank lower and lower, the blitzer feeling himself being spread deeply by the huge shaft. Finally, Kimahari was fully sheathed within Walker, who gripped Duronso's shoulders tightly. He felt the thick white hair against his cheeks, and then he was being lifted up. Kimahari immediately lowered him back down, however. This time, though, something inside the human was struck. Walker gasped. "But brah, that felt amazing. Do it again," the human moaned. Kimahari did so, lifting Walker up once more and lowering him back down in exactly the same fashion. The blitzer moaned again, gripping Duronso's shoulders tightly. Kimahari then began a steady rhythm, the intensity increasing rather quickly. Walker moaned loudly and soon heard Duronso grunting, his beasthood filling the human over and over again. Walker allowed his head to fall to Kimahari's shoulder as the pleasure became almost unbearably intense. The human shook with both the intensity of the thrusts and the erotic sensations that were pulsing through him. Duronso held his hips firmly, thrusting deeply and quickly into the human over and over again. Sweat covered both males' bodies, Duronso's fur sticking to the human's skin. "But brah, it's hot," Walker moaned, feeling the other male's body heating up. Kimahari rumbled low in his chest, not faltering. "But brah, don't stop, it feels so good," the human moaned, feeling his body growing tight. Kimahari growled low. "Kima..." Duronso began to shake, thrusting fiercely now. "Kimahari!" Walker cried, his entire body tightening around the beasthood, semen covering Kimahari's chest. Not just Kimahari, duh Kimahari. Kimahari gripped Walker's hips tightly and thrust in deeply one last time, filling Walker to the full with his hot seed, roaring loudly as he did so. Walker gasped, falling against the Ronso, panting. Kimahari pulled out and set Walker on the grass, allowing the male to fall asleep as he watched the tide. No swimming today. So the thing I'm going to be doing in the fanfiction segment from now on is I'm going to read the user reviews on fanfiction.net. So here we go. Nello writes, "Grins. This was intense, dude. Loved it. Keep him coming, lol. Much love, Nello." And then there's one from Charmed Proof Forever that goes, "It's great. This is probably the first Kimahari lemon I've read. Please write more." Kyoshiro Crimson King writes, "Super hot." Nico Nello writes, "This was hot. Do another one, please." Mr. Ankerman writes, "This story was very interesting. Not only did it get straight to the point quickly, but it utilized two of the best characters from Final Fantasy, in my opinion. This is a great piece of work." And this is the best one right here. From XXMoruTakashiXX. "Oh, sexy story, XD. Ha 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 ha. Waka needs to stay away from my Kimahari." D rips Waka out of the picture and burns it. "Hehehehe, D. Other than that, kawaii story. Waka needs to be destroyed." Alright, that's it. Hope you enjoyed the fanfiction segment.
No.
It's not too out of the ordinary. I have something better for next time, trust me.
That's a very straightforward fanfic.
Yeah, that's pretty vanilla.
Also, I have one plan out for next week. That's Kirby and Mennonite, so look forward to that.
Definitely not like the Stellan and the Monopoly guy.
Anyway,
that shit was fucked.
Oh yeah, that one was great. I'm trying to find more ones like that, but
that's
I haven't had much of that. That's probably my favorite one so far.
There's one featuring
a YouTuber PewDiePie Yaoi fanfiction about him.
Nope.
Should I read that?
Do you guys want to read fucking PewDiePie?
Yaoi fanfiction. I would listen to it, definitely.
Alright, I'll record it.
Hopefully not in public.
No, I do it in the comfort of my own home.
No, I'm talking about listening to it in public.
There's a Wikipedia page for Dog, and the reception goes, Dog was positively received as one of the best robot and sidekick characters in video game history.
Yeah, it's universal, man. It's just not here.
It's just a funny art, like a little like Wikipedia page. Seems like somebody from like 4chan wrote it, kind
of. He was universally received. Seems like a lot of people just review the dog specifically, like in the game.
Calling him the Jesus Christ of all in-game dogs.
Very subtle.
That's what it says.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, really. In all honesty.
He died and was nailed to a combine cross and was resurrected three days later.
Not specifically, but he has obviously made great personal sacrifices for you.
He made nuts and bolts into crushed oil.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video, the official podcast of lunchtime.org.uk in association with gatheryourparty.com. You can visit lunchtime.org.uk for awesome live streaming video. And Gather Your Party for hard-hitting video game journalism, if you will. Yes, thank you to everyone who has been on today, and thanks for listening, and we will be back. See you then.
See ya. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 I hate video games.
No, you
so
don't.
Do I. We all do,
I just want video just games talk are about for girls nerds. That are guns more.
Oh, here's the show notes.
Oh shit, I just looked at my list. I also have a Nostalgia Critic fanfiction.
Oh god, no.
Oh, that guy. Oh my
yes.
god.
No.
There's fanfiction about him.
No.
I hope we never ever run out of horrible fanfiction.
Oh, there's websites.
I very much doubt we will. Is there a website that specifically categorizes horrible fan fiction?
I believe there is.
There is?
At least there should be.
If not, I should totally get on that.
Let's just make it a section of the site.
I remember I was visiting another stream. A guy was doing fan fiction, and Sasuke meets up with Pyramid Head.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of Silent Hill fan fiction that crossover.
Pyramid Head
characters going to Silent Hill.
Like
there's a ton of it.
Like Sasuke was looking for his brother or some shit, and you know, next thing you know, Pyramid Head just like. Free, like causes him to stand there in fear, and he rips off his clothes and he starts raping him and shit. And I was like, "What the fuck?"
Brilliant.